those that are sick. And see, Jessica over here just had heart surgery the other day, and she's back in church here tonight. Thank the Lord for seeing her this evening. And others that need our prayers tonight, let's pray for Miss Millie. She is doing much better. Let's pray for Patsy Hogan, and let's also pray for Diane. She's doing better too. You know, she had that very, very serious heart surgery and needs prayer tonight. So let's continue to pray for her and until all get better and get well. And time for the camp meeting. Now, I heard a lot of comments about the service this morning. I did not get cussed out by nobody because you're scared to say it to my face. But I did hear a lot of comments. That's good. Real preaching will cause a reaction. It might be good, it might be bad, but it will cause a reaction. And I had a lot of good comments, text on my phone, people saying, "Boy, that helped me, we needed that." So good, I'm glad. Tonight we're going to do something a lot different. We're going to talk about you with kids, raising kids. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10 tonight, and I just want to give you a few little pointers about raising children. I'm not Dr. Dobson or nobody, but I know what the Bible says, and I can tell you what the book says about it, and from personal experience tonight about raising children. And we're living in the hardest time it's ever been on this planet to raise a child. There's never been more working against you and your children than there are tonight. The devil has his guns turned on your home, your marriage, and your children. He sure does. He's got his guns turned on your marriage and your home. And so, I hope that you'll listen. I hope that you will take these little pointers. I'm just going to give you some little pointers tonight on raising children that I believe will be a blessing to you. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 tonight. And verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. Proverb is a wise saying. A wise man, a wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Tonight, I want to take just a minute tonight. I'd like to give you just little pointers on raising children. I'm going to give you 7 of these. You might want to write them down in your Bible in the back. I'm just going to give them to you real quick, and it will help you as you raise your children. I have people come to me all the time, "Brother Danny, what am I going to do with him? He's only 7 years old, driving us crazy. Brother Danny, what am I going to do?" I have people call me that go to other churches and say, "Preacher, I have a 13-year-old daughter. She is driving us crazy. She's gone wild. She jumps out the windows at night. She runs off with her friend. Won't come home. Won't do a thing with us." "Preacher, I have a 10-year-old boy. He won't do one thing I say." I've had people call me and say, "Will you come over here and pray? I think my kid's demon-possessed." And I don't know if they are or not. They might be. But people are having a hard time raising children now. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to name you off 7 little quick pointers that you'll write these down. If you want to write them down the back of your Bible, I guarantee you these things will help you with your child. Number 1, I'm not going to preach loud and boisterous tonight probably. I do want to say something. The juries are full. Rehabs are full. Foster homes are full. Hillary's doctrine of it takes a village to raise a child is a false doctrine from hell. God gave children to parents. Parents' job to raise the children. It's not even the church's job to raise the children. It's the parents' job to raise the children. It's the parents. A lot of times church gets the blame when the parents ain't. The parents poison the stream way back up here, and when it comes out down here, they blame the church, they blame the school, they blame everything else. Now society's bad, and school's bad, and sometimes church is bad. But the responsibility of raising a child falls on the parents. So tonight, we're gonna talk just a little bit about it. Number 1. Write this down. and it'll help you with your child. Number one, be an example of what you want children to be. Be an example of what you want your children to be. As a matter of fact, you've heard the old saying, some parents say, don't do as I do, do as I say do. That's a bad philosophy. If we expect our children to do a certain way, then we ought to do that same way. Say amen right there.
Amen.
We are not supposed to tell our children, don't do that when we do it. We're not supposed to tell our children, don't do that when we do it. We're not supposed to tell our children, do that if we won't do it. So be an example of what you want your children to be. When you criticize your church in front of your child, you are making a terrible mistake. And when you talk about when you're driving home and you say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like what he said, and I don't like what she did, and that's a bad mistake. Now, you shouldn't say it anyway, but you really shouldn't say it in front of your children. I remember when I was growing up, I never knew our bills. I never knew what we owed. I never knew what we didn't owe. I never worried about the light bill. I never worried about the power getting out. My mom and dad didn't talk about stuff like that in front of me. I know people, I've had kids that high come up to me and say, pray for us, we only got $100 and our light bill's $125. Kids don't even need to know stuff like that. I mean, if you're going to talk about bad stuff, make sure they're in the other room. Make sure they're gone. A kid don't need to go to bed worrying itself sick about the food they're going to eat. That's mom and daddy's job. Don't talk about it. I know a preacher's family in another state. And we had some trouble one time. And this preacher's kid, about 10 years old, come up and said something to me about it. Now I thought, that kid has no business in the world even knowing about stuff like that. Don't discuss church problems. Don't discuss marriage problems. Don't discuss things like that in front of your children. Are you crazy? I mean, they don't need to hear that. Don't tell your children, do as I do, but do as I say do. It's a big mistake. They said one time, there's a man sitting in a bar, and it's on a cold, snowy day, and he's sitting there in a bar like this, having a few drinks, and all of a sudden he looked down and he felt something like this, and it was his little boy. He said, what are you doing in here? How'd you get down here? What are you doing in this place? He said, Daddy, I just followed your steps. Daddy, I just followed your steps. And he walked out there in the snow and followed his daddy's steps right to that bar. I'm saying to you men tonight, you want your boy to stay out of a bar? You stay out of a bar. You want your boy to turn down the wine glass? You turn down the wine glass. You want your boy to turn down the pot? You turn down the pot. If you don't want your kids to drink, you say, well, I drink a little in moderation, right? Your kids will drink in excess is what will happen. If you want them to turn it down, you turn it down. Don't expect your kids to be something you're not. Don't expect your kids to exceed your spiritual level. They will not go higher than you do spiritually for the most part. Ladies and gentlemen, be an example of what you want your child to be. Amen. The Bible said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is in bad shape. You know, I've heard women stand up in church and say, they take head pills, back pills, throat pills, wake up pills, stay up pills, go to sleep pills, stay asleep pills, nerve pills, calm down pills, hype up pills, diet pills, eat pills, then stand up and say, pray for my son, he's on dope. Listen, if all they see you cramming pills one right after another, then that's what they're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, be an example of what you want your child to be. Number two, this is good advice. Discipline must be balanced with love. Discipline must be balanced with love. Ladies and gentlemen, discipline without love is dangerous. The Bible said, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, I want to say, make a statement here. Don't ever forget what I'm telling you this evening. Discipline is not something you do to a child. Listen, discipline is not something you do to a child. Discipline is something you do for a child. You do not discipline a child because you're mad at it and want to hurt it. You discipline a child to help that child to grow, to know what's right and what's wrong and where the limits are and where the boundaries are. Discipline ain't when you say, "John, one more time, I got a headache. If you do that, I'm going to smack you." That, it's not so you can have some kind of gratification. Discipline is not something you do to a child. Discipline is something that you do for the child. You listening? I'm telling you, there's a lot of messed up children in this world. There's a lot of messed up young adults where a daddy or a mama disciplined them without love. There's a lot of people that's got a lot of psychological problems because they had a crazy daddy who made them do stuff and tortured them and tormented them, and God wasn't within a million miles of it, and God never was. It was the wrong kind of discipline. It was a selfish, egotistical, wicked, fleshly kind of discipline that he just liked to have control over the house, and it'll mess the kids up. I know people right now that need counseling because their daddy was crazy. Now, my daddy, bless his heart, daddy didn't know nothing about the Bible. My daddy wasn't saved till after I'd been saved a couple of years, and he didn't know no Bible discipline, but he did love us, and he wasn't crazy. My daddy never did do stupid stuff to us, like torture us and make us sit down and do certain things and weird stuff and something like that. He'd just knock your head off and forget about it. And that's the way it's Discipline must be balanced with love. Discipline must be balanced with love. You know why? Because all children want their parents' approval. I'll never forget playing ball. My daddy'd come to our ball game and he'd be about half drunk. And he'd come to our ball games, and I'd run down the floor like this right here, and I'd look in the crowd to see my daddy's face. You know why? Because every boy wants his daddy's approval. Every boy. I don't care who it is. I don't care if your daddy mean as a devil. Every little boy wants his daddy to be proud of him. And if you're continually kicking him and continually criticizing him and continually telling him he ain't no good. I used to go to school with boys, and they hoped that their daddy would not come to the ball game because all he did is scream out, "You can do better. What's wrong with you? You struck out again." He made them so nervous they couldn't even get a hit. And ladies and gentlemen, discipline must be balanced with love. When the Lord disciplines us, He loves us. I remember my girls might deny this. They're all sitting over there tonight. But if they deny it, they're telling the lie and I'm telling the truth. I don't remember. I think I always did. When I did have to spank one of them, I prayed with them first. And then I spanked them, and then we prayed, and then I said, "I love you. You ain't mad at me, are you?" And they lied and said, "No." But you know what? We made it like that. You know what? You should never just come in and say, "Bah! Don't you ever do that again," and walk out like that. There ought to be a prayer time. You ought to get down and say, "Now look, you understand that I told you not to do that. I told y'all before, one time one of them was misbehaving in church. And when they was little, I remember Carrie, I always told Carrie, I said, you can sit wherever you want to, but you cannot sit back farther. What did I tell you? Fourth row? Fifth row? I had some kind of rule like that. I said, you can't sit farther than the fifth row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So she couldn't sit no further back than this. Let's see what they have. You're borderline right now. I said, you cannot. I would not let my kids sit in the back. And I still won't. Still would. Amen. Get them up here. Get them up here. Get them up here under the fire. Get them up here in the spitting zone. Get them up here where they can feel it. Amen. But anyway, I said, you can't sit no further back. And they said, so Chris and Corey, they would sit with somebody, and they would sit with somebody, and they all had their friends that they wanted to sit with. And sometimes I'd get to looking around, and while I was preaching, I'd get to looking around, and I couldn't even find them. And I'd look around, and I mean, we'd have 1,000 people out. And I'd say, I'd just stop and say, "Can somebody see if they can find my youngins?" And there'd be about 4 women go out the doors like that, zoom, out like that. And then they'd locate them. One time I was in there in my office drinking Pepsi, talking on the phone, eating candy and everything. Well, one time I was up and one of them was crawling around in the choir behind me while I was making the announcements. I won't say which one it was, but it starts with a C, and it ended with a A, and I was crawling around in the choir. And crawling in the choir, and I would turn around and look, and you look like that. I'd turn around and look, and you look like that, and gone. Well, I had to discipline her, and I said, I don't want to do this. But you can't do that. You've got to set them down sometime and say, you can't do this. And if you do this, you're going to get a spanking. That's just all there is to it. You don't want to. Nobody in their right mind wants to, but they have to have discipline, and they have to have it with love. If you can't tell them you love them and pray for them, you ain't got no business disciplining them. You don't discipline a child out of anger. You don't discipline a child when you lose your temper. You don't discipline a child when you're busy or got a headache. You discipline them when they need it to correct them, to make a better child out of them. Number three, you instruct children with your words. You instruct children with your words. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, at the table, in the car, going to school. Listen, while you're going to school, you got them little TVs in your car now. Put on a good little old something. Put on VeggieTales or something or other with a Bible story on it. Pump that Bible. You know what I tell my girls? Pump it into them. Put it into them. Every chance you get, put the Bible on. Put the Bible on. Put the Bible on. While they're little. While they're little, like this right here. Let them see them DVDs playing in the house about Mary and Joseph and the Bible. Put it in them, buddy. Put it in them. Instruct them. Instruct them. Teach them the Bible. Teach them. My mom talked to us all the time. I try to do that to my girls, you know. We'd be riding down the road like this, and you see an old drunk on the side of the road. You know what you do? You don't just say, oh my goodness, you don't turn the radio on country music. You know what I do? I look over there and say, now girls, you see that man right there? That's what sin will do to you. See that man right there? That's what alcohol will do. Don't drink alcohol because it'll make you turn out. That could have been a good man. He could have had a nice car. He could have had a nice house. But look what it done. You continually instruct them and instruct them and instruct them. My girls used to have sleepovers. And when Carrie was young, they'd have, Lord have mercy, they'd have 10 or 12 girls over at the house, and they'd all be laying in the living room floor. And I'd come in there, and they'd say, Brother Danny, you going to tell us a story? And buddy, I prayed up, and I mean to tell you, I got up, and I was David, and I was a giant, and I was cussing David, and David hits a giant, and I, you know what I wanted? I said, I want them to think that the Bible is the best book in the world. I want them to think the Bible. Listen, whatever you think's important, they think's important. If you think football's the most important thing in the world, they're going to grow up. All they want is football. Tell them the Bible! Tell them the Bible. Put the Bible in their heart. That's why we're having camp meeting. That's why we're out preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Instruct them with your words. Instruct them with your words. Instruct them with your words. Teach them how to behave in church. Teach them how to act at home. Teach them to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Teach them to say thank you and yes, sir. Teach them. Teach them. When my mom told us, she said, if you go to somebody's house, don't you ever, ever, ever put your feet on the furniture. She wouldn't let us put our feet on the furniture in our house. She said, your daddy works hard for that. She wouldn't even let us put our foot on the couch. She said, don't you ever go to somebody's house and go to their refrigerator and just open it up and get some. You, if they ask you, then yes, if you don't, you shut your mouth. Teach them. Teach. They don't know. You've got to teach them. You've got to teach them. And from some of these little heathen running around here, somebody ain't doing a very good job of teaching some of them, brother, because they act like a bunch of wild animals that just come out of a zoo somewhere. Instruct them with your words. Number four, use the rod of correction when necessary. I know that's out of style. I know people don't believe in it. I know half the Christians nowadays don't even believe in it. But that shows what an infidel you are. You're just showing how ignorant you are of the Word of God. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:13, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You say, Brother Danny, that's hitting breeds violence, and you should never spank a child. Let me show you how dumb you are according to the Bible. Are you listening? Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 20:30, the blueness of a womb cleanseth away evil, So do stripes, the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, hickory switch, about like that right there, that's the rod of correction, bow, 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 like that right there, that which shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, but if thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 29:15, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I'm not talking about beating, I'm not talking about being mean, I'm not talking about child abuse, I'm talking about there are certain times when a child needs to be turned over, took a hickory switch and just like that, and nothing else will work, not your hand, not time. So I seen one the other day, she's going, I said, come on, come on, and he's going, ah! She's saying, you're going to get time out. You're going to get time out. He stays in time out. He lives in time out. Time out ain't punishment. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. One lady told me, she said, well, I spank my child and don't do no good. I said, you ain't spanking him. Amen. The Bible says, I got a choice whether I'm going to believe you or the Bible. You say it don't do no good. The Bible says the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. Now, are we going to believe God or are we going to believe you? Or your backslid mother-in-law who thinks it's awful if the little brat gets a spanking once in a while? Whew. Origin's getting worse than it was this morning on me. I ain't talking about being mean. I'm not. I don't advocate child abuse. I think anybody that's mean to a kid ought to be put in prison. Amen? But you're not the right kind of parent if you don't chasten him betimes. That means early. Amen? I don't think you have to hit them every time they do something. But there are some times. There are some times. Lord, when we was little, I mean, some of y'all had to go out and get your own torture weapon. You know, that woman told me one time, she said, boy, you get out there and break me a limb off that tree and I'm going to beat you half to death. He went out there and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. About 30 minutes later, he come walking in like this. She said, where's that limb? He said, I couldn't find one. He'll walk you and foe at me. No. Now you can't, can you? The Bible said, let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't feel sorry for him. Well, stick that lip out. I'm sorry. I won't never do it again. Yeah. You little con. Don't let them con you. The rod of correction when necessary. Never use your hand. Never hit a child with your hand. Bah! I didn't know. Your hand is supposed to be a symbol of love and compassion. Mama's hand. When mama, don't do it like that when mama raises her hand. They're not supposed to fear your hand. They're supposed to fear the rod. Right? Am I right? I know this woman. She used to go down the road. I'd be behind her going to church sometime. And I'd see her through. I'd go, bah, reaching in the back seat. Bah. Had a little old boy. He mean as the devil. Y'all know who it is. Eric Howe. And daddy said, that kid been hit more than Joe Lewis. Or Muhammad Ali, somebody. And you know what? She just go down the road reaching back there, smacking them like that right there. That ain't the way you discipline a child. They're not supposed to fear your hand. They're supposed to fear the rod, the hickory. So you get you one about like that right there, about like that right there. It's limber. And you take it and you put it on top of the refrigerator right there. You know why you put it on top of the refrigerator? The little devil will get it and hide it somewhere. So you keep it on top of the refrigerator and say, all right, boy, you want me to get that down? Wait, you want me to get that thing down? All right, here I go. No, I'll be good. All right, I'm going to get it. You want me to tell you how you know you're not raising a kid right? You're in church. My kid, Jamie, is screaming. You got a beard, dude, and you ain't 6 months old. Something's wrong with you. All right, he's crying. Wah! 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 Shut up, son. Wah! Wah! Hush, son. Wah! and I pick him up, start out with him, he hushes. That's a bad parent. That's a bad parent. You know, that's what he's wanting. That's what he wants. He wants to go out and play. Can't you figure that out? You know when he ought to start crying? Is when I pick him up and start out with him. We used to have one like that one time. This little boy, he's about that high. And I'm saying, and boy, his daddy picked him. He said, you don't want me to take you out, do you? And he went out with him like that. Little kid was going out the door. Said, I'll be good. He's too late then, boy. He's going to get it. Now, you cannot let the child run you. You cannot let him control you. You have to control him. I've even had people tell me, Brother Danny, I can't come to church no more. I got these two little ones. I'm going to have to wait like this. You cannot let the child run the house. You have to run the child. Number five. The will of the parent, number five, must prevail over the will of the child. That is extremely important. Focus on the family. Don't say nothing no better than that right there. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. A child's like a, Bible said, like a wild ass's colt. They have to be broke. Like a horse has to be broke. You know you can't ride a horse till you break it? A child's will has to be broke. Have you ever seen a kid that hadn't had their will broke? Have you ever seen a kid that didn't have their will broke? Well, you know what I'm talking about. Absolute terror, brother. And you've got to break that will. And some people don't like it. Some people don't want to do it. The child must know who's boss. And the worst thing in the world is when mama says, all right, I'm going to send you your daddy. Mama's a shock absorber. Daddy's the Supreme Court judge. See, when she says, all right, I'm telling your daddy when he gets home, that's when he better learn how to straighten up. And for heaven's sake, people, y'all know better than this. Don't take sides with the kid against the other parent. This is especially true for you people that are in your second marriage and you're raising stepkids. Listen, if you marry somebody and they've already got a kid, you better talk about that about 100 hours before you get married, where the limits are, where the boundaries are. Don't you get married to somebody and say, don't you talk to him, that's my child. You better not touch him. Listen, if he's paying the bills and he's running the household, then that man's got a right to discipline that child. You better talk about it. I know a man and woman got married one time. Had this little fella, he's about that tall. And buddy, he liked to drive that woman crazy. They'd been married a few years. And she said, I'm leaving him. She said, I can't stand it. And I said, didn't y'all talk about this before you got married? She said, no. I said, buddy, if that thing was getting ready to move in my house, we'd do some talking. If that kid was getting ready to move in my house, we'd sit down and have some long talks. And we'd say, what about this? What about that? What about this? Are you going to get mad when I do this? Are you going to get mad when I say that? Am I going to be... You can't take sides. If you disagree, go in the other room and talk it out. Don't say, honey, don't you say nothing to him. You're ruining that kid. You're raising a criminal. You are raising a criminal if you pat it on the head and say, honey, you leave him alone. Don't you touch my child. Listen, now if the man's being mean, put him in jail. But if he's trying to discipline and live him for God, you better not take sides with your child against your mother or his mother or the papa. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. Listen, don't always let him have his way, but let him have his say. That's very important, especially as they start getting older. As they start getting older, let them say, I used to be bad for that. They'd say, Daddy, no. But you ain't it? No. I already know what you're going to say, and the answer is no. That really ain't right. Let them say whatever they want to say, word it however, present their case. Then say no. But at least let them say it. You don't have to let them have their way, but you need to let them have their say. Does that make sense? At least, he won't even listen. All right, well, he won't. I haven't got my mind made up. Before they get two sentences out, my mind's made up. I'm either going to say yes or no. Now, there have been a few times, you know, they'll say, Daddy, let's just throw something up. Can I watch this movie? I don't know. What is it? Well, it's such and such, 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 such. Well, what's it rated? Well, it's rated PG, or it's rated PG, which, you know, PG now has stuff in it, Lord, you wouldn't even find on television 50 years ago. And let's just say they want to watch this movie. And you say, and they're going to say, all my friends at school watched it, and it ain't really bad. It's only got one cuss word in it. That's what they always say. Only got two cuss words. That's what they always say. Only two cuss words in it. And Daddy, can we watch this? Well, I don't know. Please, I don't know. Please, I don't know. That's where you're going to have to make some tough decisions. If you come down too hard, you stand a chance. As soon as they get out of your sight, they'll just go and look and find out whatever they want to do. Sure. If you let them do anything, you're going to have all kinds of hell going on in your house, and all the devil's going to get in that way. So you've got, in our day and time, you've got to pray for wisdom that God would give. It's just like going to spend a night with somebody, or going to a school function, or going to a certain place where it's questionable. School dances, stuff like that. Now in my mind, there ain't no question about school dances. Mine wouldn't go. But other people see it different. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, you hear me tonight? There's going to be times when you think if I'm too hard, they're going to rebel. If I'm too loose, they're going to think anything's all right. And you're going to have to pray that God will give you wisdom to know what to do with them. The will of the parent must prevail over the will of the child. Number six. I'll hurry. You listening? When you say it, mean it. When you say it, mean it. Turn that down. Turn that down. If you don't turn that down, I'm going to whip you. 5 minutes later. If you don't turn that down, I'm going to whip you. 5 minutes later. If you don't turn that down, I'm going to... You know why they don't turn it down? They know you're lying. You ain't going to get no whipping. They're used to your lies. Listen, if you say it, mean it. Boy, you turn that down right now, or I'm going to whip you. And if he don't, go over there and just bow, let him have it with that switch. But I don't want to, bro. Well, don't lie. Shut up if you ain't going to do it. The same thing's for going good. If you say, now I'm going to take you to get ice cream tomorrow evening, keep your word to them. Sometimes parents say, I'll take you to get ice cream tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening comes. That kid looks forward to that all day long. Listen, if you promise them something, they don't forget it, man. They don't forget it. What did I tell Aniston I was going to get her? What did I tell her I was going to get her? I said, she came and loved on me today. And I said, I'm going to buy you something, baby. And I forgot what it was. Marshmallows. Them little tiny marshmallows. Is that what you want? No. You was not nice. She's going to get little tiny marshmallows. You know why? Because she's being good. And I said, what you want, honey? She said, little. I was hoping she wouldn't say something. You know them. They're liable to cost a fortune. And what she liable to want a four-wheeler or something. And I said, what do you want, honey? She said, little marshmallows. Now, so I'm going to go get her some of them little bitty marshmallows, and they're going to be hers. You know what? They don't forget stuff like that. They don't forget stuff like that. If you say it, mean it. Mean it. Last, and I'm through. Keep your kids in church. Keep your kids in church. You're going to have a fuss with them sometime. You're going to have an argument with them once in a while, even when they get bigger. But the day will come when they'll thank you for keeping them in church. It may be years down the road. Some of you sitting right here tonight, your parents have to make you come to church about half the time, and you're sitting there, you resent it. Well, let me tell you how dumb you are. The day's going to come when you'll thank your mom and daddy for keeping you in church. Keep them in church. Keep them in church. Church ain't perfect, and we're a long way from it, but it's a whole lot better than what the world's got to offer them out there. Keep them in church. All right.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Come on, Miss Desi. It's just a little lesson this morning, or this evening, like a little Sunday school.